Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Adam Carter in for Chad once again on this Friday. Good afternoon to you, and many, many thanks to all of you who listened in and donated to the Second Harvest Heartland yesterday. Let's Kick Hunger, another great event, and a lot of money raised, and that's because of you folks listening. So bravo to you. Tip of the cap, clap of the hands. And thank you so much. We are back in studio today. Chad, still sick, but he's on the mend. The good news is, bad news for Chad, he was scheduled to have a trip this weekend. Had to cancel the trip because he was sick. But the good news is, for you, the listening audience, Chad will be back on Monday. That may or may not be good news.
That's fine.
That may or may not be good news for Dave Harrigan. Or you. But I'm happy to have been... at least a semi-able stand-in for Chad the last few days. So I want to start here today on a frigid cold day, on a frigidly cold day where people probably go outside and their face freezes and they say, huh, where's the global warming? Why don't we view, or here, I'll rephrase this, we should view climate change as an opportunity. Climate change should be an opportunity for, actually the world, but specifically for the United States of America. We're the shining city on the hill. Let's not forget that. This is the place all other countries look to, is to being the beacon of light, the country ahead of others when it comes to innovation, when it comes to scientific advancement. Climate change is an opportunity. 651-461-9226. Why is it not? Why is it not? Why must we fight about it? Why must we accuse others of saying this is fake, this is somehow made up? For so many years, people pushed back. Climate change isn't real. And then they said, well, it's real, but it's not man-made. I mean, how do we know how the cycles of the Earth happened, you know, millions of years before men showed up? It's an opportunity, and it should be. It should be. This should be a. This should be a, an issue Republicans lead on. Private business. Get government out of it. Private business is the way to lead to solve the climate crisis. And here's why. So Governor Walz today, we'll get. I don't know if it happens today, but the Senate has passed the carbon bill. Minnesota carbon-free by 2040. I'm trying to do the math. What is that? 17 years from now, the state of Minnesota will be carbon-free. And I'm reading the comments on the Star Tribune article, and it must have been talked about before I got on the air today, because we've got many texts saying, give me a break. Get ready for rolling blackouts. Get ready. These sustainable powers don't have the efficiency, they don't have the reliability of the old guard, the old coal power. Really? The state's largest utilities are already far ahead of the pace when it comes to these guidelines. And yes, I understand the smaller electric providers in the state of Minnesota. It's a bigger task for those smaller utilities to get on board. But they can appeal to get at least until 2040, to get at least part of that renewable energy in place. They can appeal to extend the timeline, so to speak. But if you look at the two, XL Energy and CenterPoint, they're ahead of the game already. They're ahead of the benchmarks that the state is laying out. Last time I checked, that's private business. They might be getting some, you know, government subsidies to do that, but that's an opportunity. I don't understand why we dig our heels in and say, "This, no, that we can't do that. This is the way we've done it. This is the way we power our homes for years. This is how we do it. I mean, I know why those coal companies, fossil fuel companies, oil companies, they've got pretty strong lobbyists. And that message that they get out, it resonates. And they spend a lot of money on a lot of different media companies to get that message out. But to me, this is one of those issues that really transcends whether or not you are a Republican or a Democrat. You see a problem. Where's America's problem-solving ability? Where is our collective, you know what, we're faced with an issue. Let's solve it. And you know what? The people who come up with the ability to solve it, create jobs to do it, create methods to get it done, it's job opportunity. Why do we miss that? Why does that get lost in the political arguments? 651-461-9226. Texter, I would like to see the coal plants shut down but left standing in case of emergencies. Now, that's part of the argument right now. Okay, should we have backup plants? And I will say this, the 2040 plan that's going to be signed, there isn't a lot of talk about nuclear there. I'd like to see more of that. Nuclear power, we hear nuclear, we think, oh, my God. Because, like anything, the first usage for nuclear power, we just said, well, let's kill people with nuclear power. That's a great way to use this energy. That energy should be harnessed to be used for good. And it's becoming safer. So I think that conversation about nuclear energy should be a more broad one. That should be part of this discussion into weaning off fossil fuels. But just to say, oh, no, this is we attribute this to the political parties. They're pushing this, so this can't be good. Let's just get out of that mentality and say, okay, this is a problem. And we're going to solve it. And people can make some money doing it. JT's in Elk River. He's called on the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text line. JT, why can't we look at this as an opportunity?
Well, I think the reason why it's the way that people are built with their mindset.
Yep.
You and Jordana did a section, oh, I'd say maybe 3-4 weeks ago, talking about 100 years ago. In 1923, a person said that homes will be powered by electricity, mm-hmm. and people will be able to communicate with each other with things in their hands without a wire or a cord. And you have to know that back in 1923, people doubted everything
right.
that was being said.
Sure.
And they didn't believe it. There's no way that I can heat my home with a furnace. Or there's no way that I'm going to be able to talk to people on a device. On a different continent. I think it's the same thing with this 2040 carbon-free thing. People mm-hmm. just, there's no way.
Yep.
But I believe that there is a way.
JT, thanks for the call. That's JT in Elk River. The reason nuclear isn't part of the conversation is that leftists don't want solutions. Really? I mean, that's, thank you, Tom, for the text. I appreciate it. But that's immediately where we go. Well, the leftists, aren't they coming up with solutions? Isn't that what this is about? The solution is not to say, well, is to just suddenly, well, this isn't going to work. So we've got to maintain our old way of heating our homes and running our cars. That's not problem solving. That's what we just fall back into pointing at the other side. Jared has called in on the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line. By the way, if you want to enter in on the conversation, 651-461-9226. Go ahead, Jared.
It's actually Jared. It's all right. No, I mean, when it comes to solar power and wind power, I mean, we can't just live off of that. We look at how the electric cars are handling this cold weather. You have to charge it more like you basically, it's worse than a gas car. Gas cars, you just fill up in 10 minutes and or 5 minutes. And I mean, electric cars, you have to wait longer. And it does not make sense in this climate that we live in for electric cars. And the sun's not always shining.
Yeah, but the sun doesn't always shine, but when the sun, it's not like you have to have the sun shining all the time. Garrett, thank you for the call. You don't have to have the sun shine. When the sun shines, it reserves that energy. You don't need constant sunshine. And that's, again, I get why people think that.
Yeah.
You know, like we had a guy come over a couple weeks ago, try to sell us solar panels, and actually we're looking into that.
Me too.
And that's my first question. It's like, okay, what about when the sun doesn't shine? I mean, those are fair questions. Mm-hmm. What about when it snows here? We got a lot of snow. What happens when the snow covers up the panels? That doesn't happen. They're made to, the snow slides off the panels.
Mm-hmm.
But those are fair questions. I get that. But to immediately just say, well, it's not going to work because it's cold here and it's different here. No, this is why we have innovation. This is why we come up with different ideas. And this is why it evolves.
Yeah, well, that's everything you said, I think, was in his call there. And God bless him. But, okay, if electric cars aren't fit for this environment, we're done.
Yeah.
No, you're saying, let's find a way.
Right.
Let's be innovative. Let's be the America that we're told we are, right, that we expect to be, the America that solves a problem, that says, okay, well, if electric cars aren't working here, how do we make them to work here?
Right. 651-461-9226. Calls and texts coming in. We better take a break. Major Garrett coming in about 10 minutes. The Chinese balloon. Lots of controversy over the Chinese balloon. We'll get to the bottom of it with Major Garrett. But your calls and texts. Why don't we view climate change as an opportunity? I think we should. More on that next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I challenge Dave Harrigan to come up with balloon songs. And this is a given. This is the first one that comes to mind. When you think of balloon songs, does it get any better than this one?
I think it's the GOAT, you would say.
Yeah. Is this the German version? Yes.
You bet it is. We've got the English version, too, coming up perhaps a little later.
Because did you find enough balloon songs?
There's a plethora
of balloon songs. Balloon songs. Right. That's because that's in honor of the Chinese balloon, which was spotted hovering over Montana. Has now created an international incident. We'll get to that with Major Garrett coming up in about 10 minutes from now. But I'm starting out talking about why Americans can't put aside our petty differences and say, you know what, climate change, it's happening. Okay, let's do something about it. This is an opportunity for American business. XL Energy, last time I checked, that's a private company. Serves $1.3 million customers in Minnesota. They were excited about today's the passage of the 2040 carbon-free energy bill, which Governor Walz will sign. Excited about it because they're already doing it. They're already on their way to evolving from fossil fuels. Rod has called in on the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line, 651-461-9226. Go ahead, Rod.
Yeah, thank you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't know if it was 1908 or 1910. We've come a long way since then. Henry Ford's first car was electric. And we've come a long way since then, and there's alternative ways to charge. Mm-hmm. You know, not just solar, there's wind, there's hydroelectric. And there was a major advancement made in fusion power, nuclear, where you don't have the waste.
Right.
Now, I'm not jumping on the fence and saying climate change is our fault. You know, no matter what kind of advancement we come out with, there's always some downfall. I don't care what it is.
Yep.
Now the batteries, I don't know if they're going to come up better batteries, supposedly. But how toxic are them batteries going to be? You know, there's all kinds of things, questions.
Yep.
Look at the trains, though. Late World War II, they started coming out with the electromotive, the diesel engine run a generator, and they say it burns a gallon and a half of fuel a mile, and it was moving I don't know how many tons of freight.
Right, Rod, I got to get to other calls. Thank you. Yep. Yeah. Thanks for the call. Henry Ford's first car was gasoline-powered. I think he said electric-powered. That would have been something else, but no, it was gas-powered. But yeah. But that's the thing. Batteries have evolved. Safer batteries, lithium batteries. We evolve. We find different ways to make that energy, harness that energy and use it. Chris has called in. Thank you, Chris. Go ahead.
I honestly, I'm like Adam. I don't get the thinking as to why we can't do it. Let's figure out why. Good example. Minnesota actually leads the nation in being environmentally conscious. Let's push that forward.
Mm-hmm.
There's a group that studies solar policies across 50 states. The solar policy for Minnesota is better than Florida. Florida could run the whole state on solar, but they have made
the sunshine. It's the sunshine state.
Exactly. They could run the state on solar power, but the policies are not there to allow it to happen because the solar policy was written by the power companies.
Yep.
So you see a ton of solar, you see a ton of solar panels on houses, but the homeowners get no use of those panels. They go, it all goes to the power company.
Power company. Chris, thanks for the.
You don't see the adoption in Florida like you should.
Thank you, Chris.
So Minnesota's leading.
Leading the way. Yeah, we should be proud of that. And but harness it, change it too. Like, see, solar power. I drive by, you see those fields with solar panels, and it doesn't look great. Windmills don't, you know, aesthetically. Because I think, though, because that's like such a jarring thing when you first see it. But, like, I think if you get used to it, and if you're a landowner or a farmer and you sell suddenly some of your land and you can get paid for putting solar panels,
mm-hmm,
when otherwise it would be a field of, I don't know, corn or soybeans.
I know a family that did that.
Is that really that much more jarring to see than just seeing corn out there? If the farmer is getting paid for that, maybe even being paid better than he or she was getting paid for putting corn or soybeans or some other crop out there. As the first caller said, it's just a change of mindset. And things, you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, probably aren't going to be that unusual, like electric cars. They've got electric pickup trucks now. And the fission that was discovered just a few months ago. And yes, we're decades away from really seeing that, but that might even make battery usage obsolete in the future. I'm just saying it's opportunities. Where is our American can-doism? We lose some of that if we just automatically say, well, this is being pushed by a certain group for some way to punish private business or private, you know, homeowners. It doesn't have to be that way. We can figure out new ways to do things and look back in the past and say, God, can you believe we actually argued about that? How silly were we back then? 1229, News Talk 830 WCCO. What's going on with China? Why have they put a balloon above Montana? And do we really fear China if they're using balloons to spy on us? Seems a little primitive to me. I want to bring up the Chinese balloon controversy with Major Garrett. We'll talk to Major also about Ilhan Omar being removed from the Foreign Affairs Committee. Lots to talk to Major about. He is the typical Friday, usual Friday guest of Chad Hartman at 1235. And I'll be fortunate enough to talk to him next on CCO. Yeah, Major usually talks to Chad, but Chad is sick. Adam Carter in for Chad today. Chad will be back on Monday, but we welcome Major onto the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. So I'll start, Major, I haven't talked to you in quite a while, but I'll start this segment. Knowing that Chad might be convalescing at home and listening to us, I'm going to start by wishing you a happy new year. Because Chad is adamant. He's adamant that once you're 7 days into the new year, you can no longer wish someone a happy new year. But since this is the first time I'm talking to you in 2023, I will wish you a happy new year, sir.
And happy new year to you. And Chad, I know you're listening. Please get well soon, my brother.
Yeah, it's going around. The crud is definitely going around. I didn't think I'd be talking to you today about a Chinese balloon, but let's start with the balloon above Montana and what is the latest.
Now possibly above Missouri, if Twitter is to be believed.
So it's continuing to move eastward. Are we sure, first of all, is this the same balloon or could there be more than one?
So I just watched the Pentagon briefing on this, and the Pentagon spokesman said there is one balloon. There was a report yesterday from Canada, not from the United States, that it was tracking potentially a second balloon. U.S. sources have confirmed, and the Pentagon says officially on the record, only one balloon. And this is not, to be ever so slightly glib, related to the Chinese New Year. This is not a celebratory balloon, and it's not a weather balloon, according to which the Chinese government asserts it is.
Yep.
The United States government on the record in public is saying this is a surveillance balloon that can be flown. That is to say, it has the means by which to direct itself.
Right.
It has its own independent power source. It's solar powered. It has surveillance capabilities. Having said all that, we should understand something else. The United States, Russia, China, many other countries operate high-orbit satellites in the upper atmosphere of Earth that circle the globe all the time, and they collect information. So it's not as if this is the only device China has to surveil the United States. It is not. It's the one we can see, though, and the one that has violated our sovereignty, violated international law, and is a colossal embarrassment for the Chinese. And this is going to get resolved one way or the other, but that balloon's not going back to China. That we can be pretty much certain of.
So how do we obtain the – I know former President Trump, Nikki Haley, say shoot down the balloon. And,
shoot – right, okay, right. So now, I I don't want to be too glib here, but anyone who is old enough, as I am, to remember the James Bond movies of the 1980s remembers all sorts of things that get sent up in there, and we gobble up satellites in mid-orbit and take them and put them in another place.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching Leon Panetta, former director of the CIA and the Defense Department and chief of staff to Bill Clinton. So he's been in positions where he would know such things, says, told CNN, the United States has the capability to get this balloon. So we have the capability. Do we want to shoot it down? The Pentagon says no. Why? Because it's a big thing and it's close enough to Earth that in the shoot down process, it would come straight down. It would not burn up, which is what satellites do. When they burn it, when they end their usefulness, they come back to Earth and burn up in the process in reentry. This would not, so it would crash land. Well, that does create some risks for civilians and property. Pentagon doesn't want to go through that. Also, I really do believe the Biden administration is going to maximize the diplomatic leverage this presents
sure.
before it takes any aggressive action. Make the Chinese apologize for this. Make the Chinese look terrible for this. Explain to the world, a country that always, always tries to lecture the United Nations about sovereignty and respecting borders and staying out of people's business and letting each individual nation direct its own policy the way it sees fit. No interference from busybody international organizations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, hold all that rhetoric up and make the Chinese Communist government try to explain to the world what this is. Maximize that diplomatic leverage before you do anything to take possession of this balloon.
Do we know, at least as far as you know, that China has been using these balloons before, and has the U.S. government been aware that maybe these balloons have been above us before?
So the Pentagon said at this briefing today, this is not the first incident.
Hmm.
That incidents like this occurred during the Trump administration. Now, there could be a very significant yet to be described a distinction between that. The United States has a lot of territory, as you might be aware. So this may be the first time it's been over the continental lower 48. There might have been balloons in and around or near Alaska, maybe something over Hawaii, who knows. The Pentagon won't say. All it said today on the record is this is not the first incident like this with a balloon involved. But I don't have any active memory of balloons over Montana.
No.
So neither do you. So this is new. This isn't a new category. The other ones might have been farther away and therefore less disturbing, less aggravating, and less diplomatically useful. But this does feel like it's in a different category entirely. And as a matter of policy, the U.S. government has to know, the Biden administration has to know, you can't let this thing drift all the way back to China. No. At some point, we either intercept it, shoot it down, or some combination of the two, take possession of the equipment, try to keep that equipment in as good working order as possible so we can do what? Learn what they have and learn how they use it.
Intriguing, to say the least. I mean, international balloonery.
Yes. So here's my suggestion to the Biden administration. Again, slightly glib, but also slightly serious. You know what we do at Christmas Eve? NORAD has the whole thing tracking Santa's flight.
Yes, yes.
Come on, just track the balloon. Don't leave it to Twitter, for God's sake. Officially track the balloon. Create a website. You can do it in 5 seconds, everyone. Go put it up so everyone can calm down. It's a slow weekend. There's no Super Bowl. We got lots to watch for. So just put it on a designated website.
I love it. I love that idea. Moving on to a topic that a lot of eyeballs were on this last couple of days, Ilhan Omar being removed from the Foreign Affairs Committee. Major, my question about this is, you know, we've heard Ken Buck apparently in an elevator saying this was the stupidest vote. Why would he say that? And I guess, are there long-term ramifications for this move?
So when I started covering Congress in 1990, and members of Congress didn't like something another member said within their party or across party lines, you know what leadership said? Go over there and talk to them.
Yep.
Work it out. You got a grievance? You got a hassle? You got a problem? Your ego is bruised, whatever. Figure it out yourself. We are not going to institutionalize grievances across party lines unless there's something that's so significant that it violates the criminal code, meaning you're indicted, then the House has to make some sort of judgment about whether you can stay in or stay out. Is there an ethics violation? Take it before the ethics committee. But if it's short of that, work it out yourself or move on. We've now reached a stage of American politics where the activist base of both parties expect and demand institutional grievance settling. Well, guess what happens when you do that? When party majorities switch, the grievances switch, and therefore the reactions come right back at you. So two Republicans were knocked off committees in last Congress for things that were supportive of white supremacy and violence and white nationalism and borderline anti-Semitic, and the Democrats kicked them off. Now, Ilhan Omar has been kicked off the Foreign Affairs Committee for comments that she made, then didn't retract, but apologized for us as part of her education, et cetera, et cetera. And that is writ large, big billboard, tit for tat. I don't think they're the same. And if we're going to call out a member of the Democratic Party like Representative Ilhan Omar for anti-Semitic tropes, it's worth noting that in 2018, Kevin McCarthy, as a congressman, accused three prominent Jewish business people also involved in American politics of trying to buy the midterms.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's an anti-Semitic trope or not, but it's close.
So did Tom Emmer, by the way, a fellow Minnesota congressman who yesterday called Ilhan Omar an embarrassment to the state. He made the same comments.
You know, so look, in politics, there's a lot of rough rhetoric. As the old saying goes, it ain't beanbag. And when you institutionalize the grievance settling in the combustible area of politics and rhetoric, you're going to go through a lot of these gyrations, none of which are responsive to the needs of the American public, but they are responsive to the demands of activist bases. And because those activist bases are more involved in the day-to-day activities in Washington than they used to be, these sorts of things are going to continue, not end.
Yep, that's right. We're talking to Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett. Nikki Haley becoming more visible. I've seen Mike Pompeo's face on TV quite a bit. But my question is we've got these varying poll numbers for how popular the former president is. Which poll numbers are right? How popular
None.
Is he? None.
None. None. This is a wake me when it's over.
Yes.
Situation. And what I mean by over, wake me when some Republican says, I'm in the race, I'm the right candidate, and former President Trump is the wrong candidate. I am right, and he is wrong. He may have been good, he may have been great, but he is no good and not great anymore, and he can't be the president because I must be. And here is my 3 reasons, 5 reasons, 12 reasons, I don't care. I really don't think this race has any validity and any polling on it has any actual value until somebody gets in and says, former President Trump, you are wrong, and I am right. We are still waiting that moment. Nikki Haley may bring it to the nation on February 14th or 15th. Others may too, but that's when this race will be joined. And until then, everything is in a place of unknowing. Because plenty of Republicans don't want Trump to be the nominee. Plenty of them. More than enough to deny him the nomination. But they don't have a vehicle with which to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And until that vehicle emerges, it's all academic.
Lastly for you, Mm-hmm. The Super Bowl next Sunday. Do you have a rooting interest at all? Do you?
I do. So as the audience well knows, having grown up in San Diego, hometown team that I grew up with departed for some small, insignificant city known as Los Angeles. Yeah,
they're not even the only team there. I mean, it's
kind of a backwater, smoggy, traffic-ridden place that I don't spend much time in. So I don't have a team on a constant basis. However, I do default to any AFL team.
Okay.
Because my hometown team, the Chargers, came into professional football in the American Football League. So the Chiefs qualify. So I'm very much rooting for the Chiefs. Plus, having gone to the University of Missouri, I have several great friends from the Kansas City area. They are huge Chiefs fans, and in honor and respect for them, I will be a big Chiefs fan next Sunday.
As will I, just because Philly's annoying anyway, too. Philadelphia fans
are annoying. It is. It's not the city of brotherly love.
Not at all.
It's a lot of things, but it is most definitely not the city of brotherly love.
Happy New Year, Major.
It is, I've never gotten any of it. No, I've never gotten any of it.
Me neither. Happy New Year, Major, again. Just to rub it in. Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate you hopping on with me, even though Chad was off.
All right. And Chad, get better.
Absolutely. Thank you. There he goes. Major Garrett, Chief Washington Correspondent. 12:50 now on News Talk 830 WCCO. Your Lindis Construction Time Check is 12:54. Time to get 50% off installation labor on Infinity from Marvin Windows. Is this a balloon song, too? Is this Owl City?
Owl City.
Owatonna Zone.
That's right.
Local connection.
Hot air balloon.
Oh, there you go. So we were just talking about a notary public.
Yes.
First of all, my wife is a notary public.
How does she go about getting that title?
That's a good question. And I was just going to ask her, but I'll just ask the listeners. Maybe somebody can chime in. How does one become a notary public? I always want to say note of republic. A notary public. How do you become a notary public, and can you notarize your own stuff?
Is that something you want to do, or you just fall into?
Is that
you
wake life
up,
goal?
You wake up one day, I've got goals. I've got dreams.
Do you put that on a business card? Adam Carter, notary public. That's a note of republic, like statute of limitations. No, yeah, so can you notarize your own stuff? 651-461-9226.
Should be able to, in my mind.
Why not?
The government trusts you?
If they trust me enough to be a notary public, they should trust me enough to notarize my own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And do you get, like, a stamp? Is that what you get? I think my wife has a stamp where she can just notarize something.
Got her, does it, like, have her signature on it or something?
I think so.
Nice.
And
I can get one of those.
Do you practice, like... I'm going to practice notarizing some stuff today.
Do you practice pretending to read the forms that somebody's handing
I've
you?
I've got to go through these.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure everything's official here.
Step back to the office. So, yeah, how long does it take to become a notary public?
Is that a major or a minor?
And can you notarize your own stuff? So 651-461. Just say notary. Yeah, you're a notary. I guess I'm being a little too grandiose when I say I'm a notary public.
No, I think you do that.
Yeah.
It's like as an attorney, you're calling yourself a barrister or esquire.
That's right.
You know what?
Barrister.
Clearly, you did the homework.
Counselor.
You worked hard enough to in notary school to get that two-year degree, whatever it is.
Notary.
You've earned it.
Speak up, fellow notaries, notarians. Let me know. 651-461-9226. An infuriating story about United Health Insurance denying coverage for a Penn State student. ProPublica published that story. Star Tribune picked it up. We're going to talk to the reporter covering it, and it's going to drive you crazy. Your blood's going to boil when you hear this story. That's coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.